4 hours or some things they look for, and then they'll be moving him on out into a room or something. So y'all please keep him in prayer. Rose will be over at the hospital for, she said, from 7 to 10 days in therapy after this surgery that she had yesterday. So y'all keep, she had it Monday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Monday, yeah. She had it Monday. So y'all keep that in mind. Turn to Psalm 73 with me tonight, please. Psalm 73 and verse number 22. If you'll remember, the other night I talked from the 73rd Psalm, and the psalmist here says that he had almost despaired because he had been watching the wicked and saw how they prospered, and it really bothered him until he went into the tabernacle of the Lord, the sanctuary of God, and then the Bible said he saw their end. And when he saw their end, everything changed, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary and understood I their end. There's an end to everybody, folks. You don't live this life and live as you please, and then just everything's going to be fine when you get ready to die. I remember reading about, one of the historical characters. I've got a book in somewhere that's The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. And he said, I lived essentially a profligate. I lived an ungodly, wicked life. He said, but I die as a Christian. Sorry, you can't do that. No, he chose, that's the way he was going to die. In plain words, on one hand, he chose how he was going to live. Then on the other hand, he chose how he was going to die. The way people live today is that they shop around, find a religion that's comfortable for them, and that's what they choose. That's 99% of the time. They find a religion that suits the way they want to live, and that's what they are until they're born again. Once they meet the Lord, everything changes. So in this country, we have what's called pop culture. How many of you understand what I'm talking about, pop culture? Pop culture has to do with the prevailing culture of the day. It's what's happening right now. And the culture in America is constantly changing. And I've watched it change considerably in my few years on this earth. And the people in this country that are the idols, as a matter of fact, they even have something on television, don't they, called American Idol? I hope that you understand that idolatry in the Bible is condemned in every sense of the word, and that you should never hold any human being any higher than a human being. The best of men are at best just men. That includes mankind. But they like to know what these people have to say about politics, about the culture, about the social issues and world events and what have you. And so just recently, a British newspaper interviewed one of America's country stars, female. I won't give her name out tonight, but you shouldn't have to search hard to find what I'm talking about. And, of course, the question came down to gay marriage. Well, I don't have a clue what a gay is. I know what the word gay means, as it was used in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. I know what a sodomite is. But that's what they refer to, gay marriage. And, of course, it's a big issue because of the agenda involved in it. They're pushing it all the way from kindergarten through the upper levels of education, secondary education, all the way into the colleges, universities. They have an agenda, and anybody that they can find that will support that, make it look good, join the bandwagon, what have you, they're going to publish them. And this lady right here claims to be a Christian. She says that she was raised in a Baptist church. There is in this country an organization called the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or the acronym would be GLAAD, GLAAD. And they commented about what she had to say, and they said they commended her for supporting marriage equality and rooting it, now note carefully, in her faith. This country singer cites her Christian faith in gay marriage endorsement. She says that she can be a Christian and that the Bible supports gay marriage. And some of her quotes are, as a married person myself, I don't know what it's like to be told I can't marry somebody I love and want to marry. I can't imagine how that must feel. I definitely think we should all have the right to love and love publicly the people that we want to love. She told the publication she and her husband attend a gay-friendly, non-denominational church. And she went on to say that God wants Christians to love others. Now, notice how the word love is used. They redefine the term. They redefine it. Don't use their definitions and their terms. You'll find yourself doing that. I've been guilty of it. But don't let them redefine terms, and don't use their cliches and phrases, because if once you do begin to do that, they're controlling your mind and your thinking and your vocabulary. That's exactly right. I don't know what you're talking about, gay. You talking about sodomite? The word gay is not in the Bible, in that context. But in any event, here she says, it's not about setting rules or saying everyone has to be like me. No, we're all different. That's what makes us special. You notice the melting, America has always been a melting pot, but it's the idea that you endorse diversity, the diversity, the unity in diversity. That's the idea. Okay. Unity and diversity. Well, now that's one thing when it comes to the workplace. You can work next to this man, next to this man, next to this man, next to this man. You're all working, okay? But you're there to do a job. It's quite another matter entirely when it gets down to social issues. You see what I mean? That affect your children. And how many of you know what bath salts are? You understand we've got cannibals in this country now because of bath salts. One man in Miami Beach, Florida, was attacking children down there. He was high on bath salts, stark raven naked down there attacking children. And he was high on bath salts. And so what happens? Well, it evolves. I'm an evolutionist, but I'm not a Darwinian evolutionist. I believe it evolves, believe me, but I do not believe in biological evolution. How many understand what I'm talking about? I believe this culture has evolved. I believe sin has evolved. And I believe the corruption in this country has, let's put it this way, devolved. It's gone downward. But anyway, we have this lady here, this young woman that's making an endorsement of all of this stuff. And she's coming out with it. Now, here's a couple of observations before I do something that's different tonight. Observation number one. What a country singer has to think about anything is irrelevant.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you serious?
Yeah, really.
Are you serious? What a Hollywood actor or actress has to say about anything is irrelevant. Is that a source of authority?
No.
But here's the problem. She is an idol. She's idolized by a lot of young people, especially young girls and boys who are trying to sing, make it to the top. And this young woman here came up through American Idol. And she is now a professional and she's making big bucks. And so she is appealing to a broader spectrum than her Baptist roots. Now, here's the problem. If you're truly born again, you can take all kinds of wild positions, but the Lord will bring you back to the truth, or He'll turn you over to the devil. Anybody that teaches and preaches that I believe that a man can live, that you can get saved and live any way you want to, is a liar. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that once you're born again, you belong to the Lord, and if He doesn't chasten you, you're a bastard and not a son. You can't live any way you want to. Hebrews chapter number 12 makes it plain. But now, you see, I'm 65 years old. What she believes and what she doesn't believe, it has no effect on me whatsoever. No effect. But it may affect young people. It does affect young people. Now, the way they do news now, when you get on a news site and you read a news article, I always go to the bottom after I've read the article, and here you'll have 50 comments, 500 comments, 5,000 comments. Depends on how hot the topic is. You start reading these comments, and you get all kinds of varying perspectives and views about what's going on. What it does, it gives you an idea of what's on the mind of the people that's reading this. Now, you've got to be careful. If you're on a very liberal website, you're going to get a bunch of liberal comments. In plain words, you're not going to get a good cross-section. When I say cross-section, I would like to know, well, what's the liberal say? Well, what does the conservative say? What does the born-again believer have to say? What does this religious person? What about this one that was born in America? This was born in Europe. What about this blue-collar worker? What about the guy with four or six years of advanced education? What about this one? What about, you see what I'm saying? If your idea about anything is only what the people that you run with know about it or believe about it, you're very closed in. Okay? That's the idea. So what I'm going to do with you tonight, I'm going to read to you some of the statements made by the people about this, and I'm going to give it to you to rebut them. I'm going to see if you can find the truth in their error. A couple of them are pretty good. One of them from a Christian perspective, one from a totally secular perspective. And it's remarkable what you get. Here's one that says... Let's go to this before we get into that. I'm not going to give any names out, and I wouldn't know them anyway. Now listen carefully to this. I'm not equipped to judge anyone. You know, judge not, you be not judged. If anything's ever beaten to death, that's beaten to death. That and the word love. I'm not equipped to judge anyone, but I can read. And what I read is that God finds homosexual behavior an abomination. So good so far, right? I prefer to stay on the good side of the supreme being of the universe. One way I do this is by reading and accepting scriptures authoritative. She does not. God help her. Can you imagine the surprise she'll face one day learning her statement, an attempt at love, actually caused thousands of sounds of souls to be lost to eternal damnation? Yikes! Read up. You're talking from dangerous ignorance. Sounds to me like he's reasonably ignorant too, though. Now, his supposition is correct. She's wrong. But he's superstitious. How many agree? That's superstition. I prefer to stay on the good side of the supreme being. The man upstairs, I don't want to make the man upstairs mad. Have you ever dealt with people, the man upstairs, supreme being? There's not a word about the Lord Jesus Christ in here. Not a word. All right. His observation is correct, but it's based on superstition. See the point? His observation is based on superstition. He has this fear of God, but he doesn't know Him. He needs to be introduced to Him. That's sad. But that's the way, that's what you're going to find. Now I'm going to put this one out for you. Now here, listen carefully. Now, these people sometimes are arguing to each other. All right? One will come on, post something. This guy will come along and say, well, you're a fool, man. And he'll blast into him, and on it goes. So what you are saying is believing in Jesus Christ isn't enough. In order for someone to be a true Christian, not lacking in faith, they've got to believe in Jesus Christ and agree with you on gay marriage. I have seen some very strong arguments using Scripture alone to make a case for gay marriage. And the homosexual lifestyle, not to mention other religions I don't agree with, any of them, but some, the fact is, some are very compelling. Now listen to his argument. Luke 18:17. And he says, the King James Version says, truly I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now he's using this to show you how that you can take the Bible, as he's heard people do, and support gay marriage. All right? Now watch what he does. Listen carefully. Truly, quoting Luke 18:17, truly I say to you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now he quotes, I could use that verse to say you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are baptized as a child. Is that what that text says? I doubt if there's anybody in this building that's that dumb. He's talking about the spirit and attitude of the individual that comes to him. Why would he say that to people that are adults? It's too late for them. If you have to be baptized as a baby to be saved, then the people he's talking to, the adults, why bother? What's the point? It's too late for them, you see. But the attitude of the heart is what he's talking about. A little child receives without guile and by faith. But look at his reasoning. I mean, it says it right there in black and white. Unless you receive it as a child, you cannot enter in. Now, does anybody see his reasoning? You see what do you see what you're left with if you don't believe the Bible? I honestly believe that there are 12 and 14 year old kids that can reason much better than that right there. Much better. Okay? And his, of course, the idea is you can't judge gay marriage because the Bible supports gay marriage. I've heard people say it does. And then he takes this text and uses it and on it goes. Does the Bible support gay marriage?
No.
I take that back. Does the Bible support sodomite marriage?
No.
See, I use the word gay. All right, now. This woman talks about judge not. All right? Now, I've got a perspective right here that is very good. Very good. Listen carefully. Indeed sad that now Miss blah blah, yea, we know she's married, in attempting to package herself and not peeve off the gay record buying public, that's a good perspective, is leaving her principles behind in favor of the quick buck. The love of money is the root of all evil. Many have already commented on the biblical references to homosexuality. Yes, it is your place to judge others, and he calls her name out. Now listen carefully. You will judge who teaches your children. You will judge whom you allow into your mansion at 3 a.m., reeking of alcohol and brandishing a weapon. You judge who goes on the road with you and sleeps in your bus. You will judge who dates your little daughter. You will judge. In this decision you've made, you have already made a judgment. Just now it seems you say that as a convenience. Seems that in this case, a song that she sang takes on a whole new meaning. Indeed sad. This is one of the smartest references that I got. What do you think about that? You made a judgment to come in here tonight. You make judgments all day long. When somebody says to you, judge not that you be not judged, they're taking a text out of context.
Right. Absolutely.
And they're using it for their own pretext.
Yeah. Right.
They are. They're twisting it and perverting it to their own destruction. Now, I want to give you something that I thought was remarkable. I'll hold this for just a moment, though. That's going to shock you. It's very simple. So-and-so's Christian faith is founded in feelings and social dynamics rather than the text, the actual Word of God. Is that true? Yes, it is. How she feels. All right. What are feelings based on? Feelings are based on experience, emotions, reaction, all of these things. They're not really based upon conviction. Because you can stand on your conviction and feel nothing, but you're standing on what you believe. You don't feel a high, you don't feel a low. This is what I am. I am what I am. If you have a conviction about something, then how somebody feels about it, it's not going to sway you. A problem with this generation today is there's a big difference between conviction and convenience. Because there's a vast difference between the two. Now here comes one. Get ready for this. It's truly amazing to me that the Freudian id of American Christendom on here referring to the forum that's coming on the news, seems to be accusing blank of selling out or appeasing majority opinion in order to make a quick buck. You people do realize that Neanderthals, such as yourselves, make up an overwhelming majority of this country's population. Right? You realize that by taking this stance, she is misguided in claiming that the Bible supports same-sex marriage. You are all correct that the Bronze Age scrapbook is abundantly clear on this issue. That's another term for the Bible. However, None of you are justified in feigning victimhood when most of our population has frontal lobes that are too small and egos that are too big, just as you do. Now, y'all understand what this guy's point is? Let me tell you what it is. Well, he may be, but his point is, I am so much smarter than you. I am light years above you Neanderthals. And here you are arguing among yourselves. And your frontal lobes, which are supposed to be the seat of thinking in the mind, is so small compared to your huge egos. And I would say back to this man, sir, you're the man with the ego. You got a big, big ego. Let me give you three names tonight. Just put these in the back of your mind. These three names have had a profound effect upon this country and upon the world. Sigmund Freud was a psychoanalytical philosopher and psychologist. Modern psychology is built on what he laid out in his book and his study. All right? And yeah, absolutely. Alfred Kinsey was a professor at Indiana University and wrote a book back in the 50s about the sexual attitudes and what have you of the American male. And all you got to do is get on the internet and type the word in, and you'll be amazed at the court decisions that have been made based on what Kinsey had to say. And this man's book literally sparked a sexual revolution in this country. If you want to know why in the early 60s that they were in the Haight-Ashbury district in California and up in New York and other places in this country, smoking, taking LSD, acid, and smoking pot and everything else that they could pop, and literally it probably was manifested itself the greatest in Woodstock, New York. How many's ever heard of Woodstock? The older people have. How many of you younger people under the age of 20 have ever heard of Woodstock? I got one in here. Anybody else? Never heard of it, have you? I don't know how many days it was, but they went up there and they had their rock bands in and they laid out there in the mud, and everything imaginable on this earth happened while they were listening to their rock and their rock and roll music back there in the 60s in Woodstock, New York. My generation, the baby boomers, they're my age now. I grew up through all that. And it had come to that point in this country and all over the country. The drug revolution and the sex revolution was a direct product of Sigmund Freud and Albert Kinsey, and all of it started with Charles Darwin when he puked out his doctrine of evolution and gave man no purpose and no meaning for being here. And once that happened, he's just a lost soul floating around, and the only reason to live then becomes hedonism. In other words, satisfy your feelings and your pleasures. Live for pleasure. It's hedonistic. The society in this country, folks, is hedonistic. They live for the moment. They live for the moment of the pleasure. That's what they live for. That's all it's about. That's all they care about. These people in this country are the product of three generations of Freud and Kinsey and Darwin. Now, they're the three main names. There are many more, but they're the three because they each represent a certain part of it, a certain segment of it. It didn't get here overnight. But here's the problem. The church is supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. It's supposed to be the seed of the earth. It's supposed to be the foundation of the truth. The church of God should be the light directing to the world what the truth is. They don't know the truth. You're not going to get any light out here. You're not going to get it from the Republicans, and you're not going to get it from the Democrats. You're not going to get it from the Libertarians. You're not going to get it from the government. The truth will come from the Word of God. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that the Republican Party is the party that champions morality and truth and righteousness and what's right, and think that because you're a Republican and you're not a Democrat that you've done the right thing. No, just take the lesser of two evils when it comes time to vote. That's the truth, man. I got plenty of problem on both sides. One is absolutely unthinkable that you would vote for him. And the other one, you know, he's not great, but he's 10,000 times better than the other one. Amen. And you have to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. People think today not because they're informed and not because they know the Bible. They think because that they have been brainwashed. All you got to do is listen to them. And what you're hearing is what they hear. That's all it is. It's like turning the radio on. You hear people talk. They talk to the common man on the street. He hadn't read anything. He doesn't know anything. He's just blabbering about what he's heard, he or she. Most of them spend all their time on Facebook. You know what Facebook is, don't you? It's the largest gossip, non-stop gossip session in the world. Amen.
Amen.
And some of you girls got mad at your boyfriend, got on there and printed a bunch of stuff. Now you're back with him. Wish you hadn't printed it because it's all over the world. Amen. And some of you girls did the same thing to your boyfriend and vice versa. And when you put it on Facebook, you might as well get up on the housetop and shout it forever. Well, say, I took it back off. That doesn't mean a thing. Once it's posted, somebody can take that post and repost it, and somebody can take that post and repost it. First thing you know, it's exponential. Starts with 1, goes to 10, goes to 1,000, goes to 10,000, goes to 100,000, goes to 1,000,000. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. If you got 1,000 people posting the same thing, and then 1,000 people post each one of the 1,000, first thing, what do you got? You got billions of it out there. Facebook. Be awful careful who you run down on Facebook. Be a good thing if you didn't run anybody down, wouldn't it? Who'd you have for lunch on Facebook? Let me ask you a question. Is your life that boring and dull? Boy, I'm getting some looks in here tonight. These people, they don't like this. We didn't have Facebook when I went up through high school. We just met down at the Copper Kettle or somewhere like that. And that was it. Half of us didn't even have telephones. And the phones we had were on party lines. Didn't know what a cell phone was, any of that stuff. Everything's changed. They call it social networking. Social networking. Let me say this. I can't stop you from using Facebook, but be careful. Be awful careful what you put on there, because they'll use it against you. Somebody will. They'll use it against you. So this elitist goes off into his own element. Now, here is one that approaches it from a Christian perspective. Consider this, he says. If the Bible is truly the Word of God and everything is as it says, you are in deep, deep trouble. The day your morality ends. In fact, you will be in an eternal state of excruciating suffering and loss or separation. In other words, that's a euphemism for hell. If the promise of Christ is a myth, as you claim, then those of us, and this is an answer not to the woman who the article's about, but to somebody who had posted, then those of us who believe the Bible and follow Christ will never know the difference. See, if it's all a myth, you'll never know the difference. Mind you, I believe not as an insurance policy against this, but because God showed me, convicted me of the truth through the Spirit, and I accepted Christ for who He is and have come to find the Bible to be completely true. It has no error, contrary to your arguments based in pseudoscientific fantasy. However, for someone such as yourself, it should at least provide a reason to reconsider, particularly since God's Word makes it clear there are no do-overs. Looks to me like you and those believing as you do have much more to lose. All right, here's his thinking. I know I'm saved. I believe the Bible. But if perchance that we die like a dog and it's all over with when we die, I've lost nothing. But if it's true, he said, you lose everything. I heard a man say one time that even if there is no hereafter, the Christian life is infinitely better than any alternative on this earth. But of course, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that's left. You got to keep, you can't, you see, that's the point. There, I saw a video yesterday. This guy led me to a link, and I saw a video. There's a woman out here in California. She's got a robe on. I've told you to watch symbols. Watch them. Watch symbols. Watch them. Watch them. She's got this big Christian, so-called Christian symbol on her robe. And guess who they're worshiping? They're worshiping the feminine. The feminine. See? The feminine. Now, how many of you have ever heard of yin and yang? Okay? All right. That's an Oriental principle. It's a philosophy. It's a balancing of black and white, good and bad, male and female. And it's all within one circle. Okay? So therefore, to them, the God principle is both male and female. All right. Every pronoun, every reference, bar none, from Genesis through Revelation, that applies to the Lord God Almighty, is in the masculine gender. When God made Adam, He made him a man. And then He took from his side a rib and made a woman. The word for man in the Bible is ish. The word for woman in the Bible is isha. Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is added to the end of ish, and it becomes a feminine. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. There is one God. Now listen carefully. One God and one mediator between God and men. The who? The man. Christ Jesus. You see, when someone comes along and says that God is both male and female, and some Southern Baptists are teaching it now. And here's what I've noticed. It doesn't take long. When the Southern Baptists started, before the Independents jump on board. It'd look a whole lot better if the Independents would start something themselves, wouldn't it? You know what it makes them look like. But the problem is, God is male, masculine. The seed of life, comes forth from Him. That's where it comes from. God Almighty. And the feminine aspect is purely Hinduistic, purely Eastern mysticism, purely across the ocean. But now they're trying to incorporate that into the Church of God. That's a bunch of garbage, folks. Yes, sir. Yeah. The Bible says, let a bishop be the husband of one wife. Right? It's hard to be a husband and be a... That's why two sodomites, when you join them together, which one's the husband and which one's the wife? Well, it's not. They call them partners now. You see, they changed the terminology. Now, here you want to listen to total confusion. Here's confusion. Let's first and foremost remember that we should not judge, lest we be judged. Everyone will answer to God for their own sins. I believe if there is a religion that will allow same-sex marriage, then that's fine. Let's also not confuse civil unions with marriage. Marriage is traditionally a religious activity and should be kept that way. No, it's not. Civil unions is a government activity and should not infringe on the religious activity. So-and-so basing her opinion on her experience of being raised Baptist is not correct. I was raised Baptist in Texas, and half the things she does in her profession is not allowed. But I will not answer to God for her sins. That's total and complete confusion. Have you noticed that the only one that ever quoted a scripture was the one that quoted Luke, where he's talking about the children? Except you become as a little child. And he misapplied it. None of the rest of them ever quoted Scripture. Everybody's got an opinion. I marvel at the fact that everybody's got an opinion. Isn't it amazing? Now here's the sad thing. If you don't have the truth, and if you don't know the truth, you're deceived. You're deceived. The only way you'll ever get the truth is for the light to shine into your darkness and for God to open up your soul to begin to receive His Word. Now, you're faced with a situation. Am I going to accept what I feel or what I think is acceptable or what society sees it as or what the government pronounces it to be or what my school or my job or my neighborhood accepts, or will I accept the Bible? Which one? Even the people who never darken a church door make this statement, and I got it time and time and time again from them. And here's what they said. They said, there is no way that you can read the Bible and believe in sodomite marriage. They say the Bible soundly condemns it from cover to cover. And it does. And yet, in Baptist pulpits right now, they're telling people it's okay. And I make don't misunderstand me. Independent Baptists are there too. They're at that point. They're at that point. And when the devil changed the Bibles, the 18 and 89 was the beginning of the end. Because in 1889, Westcott and Hort got into the Revision Committee in Great Britain. And when they did, they used the Alexandrian text, introduced it into the translating committee, and they used it to produce the Revised Version of 1889. That's the granddaddy of all that followed since. All of these new translations, folks, and this is a fact, you can check me out, every last one of them is based on corrupted manuscripts that are the Westcott and Hort type of manuscripts. Now, here's the problem. There is no consistency in what they base them on. Nestle Allen's critical apparatus that I have in my office is just a little thin book. Most people don't even know it exists. But if you are a Bible translator and you deal with Greek manuscripts and you're going to sit down and you're going to produce a translation of the Bible, you're not going to translate it from the King James, are you? You're not going to translate it from the NIV. You're going to translate it from what's available in Greek text. When you begin to work with the Greek text, you want to know what the authority is for the Greek text you've got in your hand. What's that authority? In other words, what's it based on? What's this word? Is there any ancient authority for this word? That's what Nestle's critical apparatus is about. It takes every word in the New Testament and it gives you the authority. In other words, is it in the Washingtonius or Alexandrius or the Sinaiticus? Is it in this uncial or this cursive, or is it in this lectionary? Is it found here? Is there a fragment of it there? This, that. They put all this stuff together. And it's like a database. You go through the New Testament text and you can look over here and find the sources that corroborate what you're dealing with, that say, this is the word that ought to be there. For example, in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Theos, that's the Greek word. That word is translated God correctly in the King James Bible. But the new Bibles changed it. So what did they change it? What did they base that on? What they based it on was the extant manuscripts. Here's the problem. You can go to it and check it out, and you'll find out that in some places, some of their own manuscripts support what they do, and some of their own manuscripts don't support what they do. And, for example, you take a word that has, sources that support that word. All right? Or you may have five that are different readings. He gives you the different readings. Well, they're not consistent. If they were consistent, they would consistently take the ones that support what they're going to say, and that would be their translation. But they don't do that. They reach up into the air and the thin air and make their own translation, sometimes going against their own pet manuscripts, just to make it say what they want it to say. And now today, they don't even bother with that. Today they have what's called eclectic translations. What's an eclectic translation? An eclectic translation is like taking early American furniture and French provincial furniture And what they call that stuff back in the 50s, there's a name for it. I used to know all these furniture names. Mix it all up. And when you walk in your house, you got everything in the world in there. You got all kinds of different mirrors and furniture and drapes and nothing matters. You have your art, for example. You may have Renoir. Caravaggio. You may have Rembrandt. You may have modern art. You may have something that looks like somebody took a handful of stuff and threw it against the wall. They call that art. And it's all mixed up. It's eclectic. It doesn't make any sense. There's no meaning to it. There's no beginning, no ending. There's no theme to it. That's where the Bible translations have come to today. The manuscripts mean zip to these people. Why? Because they want to produce a Bible in the language of the people. They want to give them what they want to hear. And on and on and on it goes. So, because of that, the independent Baptist movement back in the 50s and the 60s began to drift away from the King James Bible. They drifted away from it. And some of the biggest names in the independent Baptist movement were some of the worst critics of the King James Bible. It's in their work. It's present to this day. I'm not going to get anybody's name tonight, but you can pick up their work, and they will correct that Bible at will. Based on what? Based on the Alexandrian text. That's what they're based on. Now, here's what's happened, though. Here's what's happened. The translations have gotten so corrupt, so godless, so filthy, that it has forced them to abandon them and come back to the King James Bible. That's where they're coming to now. That's where they're coming to. And some of the men in some of the biggest Baptist churches in this country are not real believers in this book. But because the rest of them are so corrupt, they have to come back to the book. What's that say about that book? That's what Gail Riplinger, when she was a professor up here at Kent State University, something, I don't know what she was teaching, one of the sweetest women I ever met in my life, she said that the students would come to her with problems, and she would try to help them and quote Scripture. And she said in the course of her own work, she would give the girls Scriptures from the NIV and books like that, and then she would also give them Scriptures from the King James Bible. Now, we're talking about a secular university, a secular professor. And she says she noticed in her own work that the girls that had the King James Bible Scriptures got help. And the ones with the NIV and the rest of them didn't seem to do as well, which sparked her interest. Because she's got a brain in that head. It sparked her interest, and she set about on her own to do her own thorough investigation into why the King James Bible helped them and the NIV didn't. And you know what she found out? And she published that book, The New Age Bible Versions, a few years ago. And some of the great prophecy teachers in the country, when asked about her book, one of the big prophecy teachers in America said, "I haven't read the stupid thing." That was his attitude. That was his attitude. "I haven't read the stupid thing." That arrogant flip-off. He'd do well to read it. He'd do well to read it. He'd do well to read it. He'd do well to read New Age Bible versions, because everything she said is coming to pass. Just like she said it would. There will be a new Bible hit the market. That's going to be an Antichrist Bible, and they've already laid the foundation for it. All right, I'll shut up. But that's my observation. That's what I've seen. That's the way I've seen it develop over the last 30 years. And it's not stopped yet. Father, in thy name we pray. Use what I've said for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen.